This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. And this is Friday, November 4th. And this is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a discussion about the Constitution. And in order to help me with this discussion, I have Professor Sidney MacArthur Walter Thompson, who's supposed to be calling in. He hasn't called in yet, so I'm hoping that he's hearing me and listening in, that he can call in now and he can join me on this conversation. I have one or two things I plan to ask the professor, and then I'm going to leave him alone to be able to explain things to me so I can challenge him regarding his interpretation of the Constitution. Professor Thompson is somewhat of an expert on an interpretation and has of the Constitution, and has an interpretation that we are doing things wrongly. And in fact, the government is doing some things ultra-virously regarding how they govern us. And that is an affront to us as citizens. And that there needs to be people who can challenge the government to say, this is not right. This is not proper. And it must be corrected. Right? And so we're going to talk about one or two things about that. And one of the things I want to discuss and ask Mr. Professor Thompson about is just recently we had the Minister of National Security, the good gentleman. He criticized the Director of Public Prosecution, right? And saying that they were doing some things wrongly, and that is affecting affecting policing. Right, and that the for lack of a better word, and I'm paraphrasing now, and I should find that and just read it into the record one time. I may have a chance to do that. That the Director of Public Prosecutions are not doing their cases properly, and that they are putting people on bail, and that they are responsible, for lack of a better word, crime in the Bahamas. And I read it, you know, and I tried to empathize with the Minister of National Security. And I concluded he has no right to talk to the Director of Public Prosecution, because the judiciary is an independent system of the law, branch of governance. Right. And he's a part of the governance. And the same way I wouldn't expect the judiciary to critique and criticize publicly the executive, I find it offensive and in question how no lawyer, no one in the branches or the judiciary came forward and said, I appreciate what you're trying to say. Mind you, the Director of Public Prosecution said, well, he'll be willing to meet with the minister. And I'm not sure if that's appropriate. I don't think that's appropriate. And the Minister of Justice to speak on how they can better perform, right? And I'm listening to this, right? And saying all these branches are supposed to be separate, right? Making sure that it's a check and balance. And I see they publicly colluding with each other. You know, what the hell is going on here? So I'm going to ask Professor Thompson about that. Is that appropriate? Is it just me? Because, you know, I didn't study law. I mean, I did study law, but I didn't study law like that, right? To understand that if that is appropriate or not. I just find it offensive. Then the Minister of National Security said that how dare the judiciary give people bail, and these people getting bail is the reason why crime is happening. That's what I'm interpreting. And of course, I can, again, read that into the record to see if that's correct. Right? And I said, wait, getting bail is like a constitutional right. What type of governance this Minister of National Security is trying to do? You know, you put their case in front of an independent judicial system where justice is blind, and is purposely blind. And then they adjudicate the case and they make judgment based on people's constitutional rights. And it seems to me, because the minister is complaining, and mind you, just the other day, he was a defender of these same people, right? The same people. And it seems to me, it's like, he don't want these people to have their constitutional rights, right? And I'm saying, Lord, at least I'm not a person who's do crime or anything. I say, suppose I go before the court and then I see all these people colluding to make sure I stay locked up and I don't get my chance of a fair, just and just court system. See, ain't my fault that there's a backlog. Ain't my fault that the police is beat people to get confession. It ain't my fault. See, now you see how it's moving from the judiciary to the police now, and that's the Minister of National Security. It ain't my fault that they don't have no search warrant and kick down people's door. You know, it ain't my fault for abuse. You know, it's sloppy work. You know, but I found it offensive with the wording and the public wording. I said, surely the minister could have called the Attorney General and say, hey, let's reason. Right. Let's bring the Minister of Justice, the junior one. Bring the Chief Justice. You know, because I think he's blaming the court, the judges too. Because when he start talking, it seemed like he's blaming everybody. And I want to talk about that. And I'm like I said, I'm still waiting on the professor. I'm not sure. Oh, he's on. Because I thought I was gonna have to ramble on for a bit. Professor Sydney MacArthur Walter Thompson. Welcome to Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri. And I know you tend to analyze what is happening in the Bahamas and give commentary on what is constitutional and what is an affront to our rights.
That is correct.
And I wanted your commentary. I'm not sure if you was listening when I was speaking regarding the Minister of National Security giving comments where he is basically chastising, like that word, the director of public prosecution. And I was saying to the listening audience that I find that offensive because I don't think that the national security has any right to speak to another ministry, the attorney general's office, because I find that the director of public prosecution falls underneath him, the attorney general. And if he wants to speak as a Minister of National Security, then you have to speak to minister to minister. But I would like to pause, and if you did hear that, to give any commentary on that.
Brother Nuri, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
And I hope all is well with you.
All the time, man. I'm blessed.
Well, that's good. I heard a portion of it because I was trying to get on the line, but nobody picked up the phone.
I apologize for that.
You know, and those things do happen. But the thing is, I am happy that you mentioned about that. Because, see, you always go back to your Constitution. What does the Constitution say? Let me speak directly to the Office of Director of Public Prosecutions. According to the Constitution, remember now that they made an amendment to the Attorney General's office. There is what you call a Director of Public Prosecutions. He has certain powers that the Attorney General used to have in dealing with prosecutions. The point is that I hear people talking about independent director of public prosecution. There is no such thing as an independent director of public prosecution.
What do you mean by that?
That doesn't exist. It's not in the Constitution.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You could check the document, because I went through this very thoroughly with a fine-tooth comb, more than once. There's no such thing. You have the Office of Director of Public Prosecution, but the Office of Director of Public Prosecutions is not an independent office, only in the sense that he can deem in his mind he wants to take action against a particular person. He can do that. He has the power to do that. He has the power to stop a case, cancel it, whatever he wants to do with it. He has those powers. Those powers are given to him in the Constitution. But here is the catch, and I'm going to deal with the Minister of National Security later. The catch is, if the Attorney General gives the Director of Public Prosecutions an oral or written statement. He has to carry it out. He cannot tell the Attorney General, no, I ain't gonna do it. He has to carry it forth. Now, it's unfortunate what happened with the Minister of National Security. See, the problem is sometimes people don't realize, are you a defense attorney? Are you a prosecutor? Are you a judge? Whatever you're supposed to be. I believe the minister got carried away. Because what he did was totally unconstitutional.
Explain that to me. Why would you? To me, man, I had problems with it, right?
But, no, there are serious problems with that.
But I want to know what you were trying to say to me. Why are you saying that it's unconstitutional?
Because it's not according to the Constitution. He has no jurisdiction over the Director of Public Prosecution. Let's make that clear.
Okay, let's start
That's
with
constitutional.
That. Let's start with that.
But you have to start with that.
But I want to add this to it.
Yeah.
You know that there are police prosecutors, right?
Yes.
And the Minister of National Security is over responsible for the police prosecutors.
Now, notice what you just said. Police prosecutors, not the Director of Public Prosecution. There's a difference. Big difference.
I see what you're trying to say. And that's why I felt it was offensive. That no lawyer said anything. The Attorney General didn't say anything. He just sent his assistant junior and said, yeah, y'all go talk
but
to
let
him.
Let me just say this. Do not, see, you cannot wait for someone to say something, particularly if it's not in their best interest. They're not going to speak to it at all. Because remember now, someone called me and asked me about the ruling of a judge. I went on air and I said, the ruling of the judge is his legal opinion. He didn't make a ruling according to the Constitution. It was a figmentation in his head. That's all that was. Just like the woman in Baintown has an idea. She got five boys trying to feed them hungry children. The man in Foxville with his six girls. The woman in Angleston with four disabled children. They all have opinions. His own was only an opinion because it was not constitutionally sound. Now, what the government did was, I know about two or three days later after it made that comment, the Attorney General said that it was his legal opinion also. They took it to the appeals court and it was knocked down. And that was the end of the matter. You see, the thing is, things must be done according to law. So not because a person is in the office means that they're going to be acting constitutionally. Do not expect an attorney or someone who you think ought to do something, doesn't do something, doesn't say anything, and doesn't make it right, Mr. Newry. People have their own objective, their own reasons as to why they may do certain things. When I look at something, I always ask myself, is it constitutional? And I know my sister, she pesters me with all kinds of questions, particularly when it comes to the Constitution. And other persons who know me well. The point is, I always start, is it according to the Constitution? The Minister of National Security was out of order completely.
What about his commentary about bail? And basically, and this is what I interpret it, and it's just me, layperson, I ain't smart, saying basically that it was the judiciary who are giving these people bail, and that my interpretation, that no bail should be granted. Especially for these repeat offenders. And I think that the Minister of National Security overstepped in his commentary again, being a lawyer where he fought for appeals and bail all the time as a defense attorney, to come here underneath a different hat
this is
unfair and you're causing the problem. I said, stop it.
Mr. Newry, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, sometimes the fella ain't sure what he's supposed to be. That's just what is happening right there. Is he a defense attorney? Is he a judge? Is he sitting on the bench? Is he a prosecutor? He's getting all mixed up. So he was completely out of order. All he had to do, if there was a problem with those prosecutors from the police, fine. They came to him and made some statements, and fine. The way he handled it is the problem. See, that's the big issue. His fellow colleague is right there, the Attorney General.
That's my point.
All he had to do was go and speak to him. He didn't have to bring this out into the public. You and I ought to have nothing to know about that.
Let me read this.
Okay.
Monroe pointed to numerous complaints from police officials and local attorneys about several policies that are in place that impact progress of criminal matters that we have yet to be addressed by Williams. We are not satisfied with his management of the office. What we are seeing and what we are going to have a conversation with him over it, according to Monroe. We're not pleased, for instance, that you can have a case for murder that is being defended by two King's Counsel and a number of junior lawyers, and he would not be doing it personally, and people at the higher level would not be doing it. That's regarded by the officers who work the cases as being disrespectful to their work. And reading that unclearly, basically saying that the director of public prosecutions is purposely sending junior lawyers against senior King's Counsel, and why doesn't he adjudicate these particular cases himself? And go ahead.
If there is a problem with the director of public prosecution, see, we got to get it clear now. That's not Mr. Monroe's call. That is the call for the Attorney General to deal with him. It's right in your Constitution.
Perhaps he's making a case, and now he's making the case publicly.
So then the
when the maneuver is happening,
he,
as I see.
Is he now a defense lawyer? What the hell is he? Is that what he is now? He is a minister to government. You know, the judiciary and executive not supposed to get mixed up, you know. Don't you know that, Mr. Murray?
I'm listening.
So I'm saying to you, the man got to figure out, what the hell is he? What the hell is he? Is he a defense attorney? Is he a prosecutor? What is he? I would have thought he has the office of the Minister of National Security. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't want to perform in that office, well, you know what to do.
Oh, but he's basically questioning the competence of the director.
He did it. No, sir.
He's independently in charge of the prosecution system. I have not been advised that there have been any appeals of those decisions onward to the Court of Appeal. That is troubling to me as a professional.
Where is the Chief Justice in this?
That's what I said. This baby bull. And nobody, the Attorney General didn't come out and say, hey, stop it.
Yeah, maybe.
What you doing here? He's attacking my entire office because he falls underneath me, and I am responsible overall in terms of how the prosecution, how the Attorney General office looks. But there was silence.
So, Brother Murray, maybe the two of them went to sleep. I've watched this with the current administration. The ministers keep falling down over one another.
Mm.
Making contradictory statements. This isn't the first time this has happened. You look at the record of Mr. Davis's administration. There's no such thing as no Davis-Cooper administration. Let me put that in there right now. There's no such thing as a Davis-Cooper administration.
Hmm.
Check your Constitution.
Okay.
You see, we allow so much crap to be going on. People talking foolishness all the time. Now, there's such a thing as the Davis administration.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole horse of a different color. But no such thing as no Davis-Cooper administration. That's a figmentation of somebody's mind.
And I agree with you, and I yield.
But it's not constitutional. That's why we have all these problems, Mr. Newry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not following the law.
The next thing you could try to tell me, Professor Thompson, there's no such thing as First Lady of the Bahamas. And I can't handle you. I can't handle you trying to Don't laugh. No, man, it's real talk. Just can't be laughing at me on station.
Tell me you, tell me that.
You, next thing you want. Man laughing at me. I have a call. I have a caller, Professor. Let me pass you the call. Let me see what the caller says so I can move on. All go ahead, caller.
Hello, good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. I'm talking to Professor Thompson about the Constitution.
Questions for the professor. They said the Constitution is open to interpretation and is a legal binding document. I think that's what it is. I have a friend of mine, as relates to the Constitution. What I want to ask the professor, this was being on my mind. If persons enter your country, both persons enter your country illegally, and they have an offspring, and then that offspring is given to citizenship, is that legal? I mean, as related to the Constitution, I mean, I was thinking, you know, Constitution shouldn't give way to equality or reward something that was illegal and it rewarded with citizenship or whatever. My last point is, like I say, persons who knowingly do this or the offspring, they tend to taunt behemoths by saying, this is your Constitution. And it's almost like an incentive to continue to do it, even though a person may deny it, say, oh, no, this don't happen, or anchor babies. Well, of course, we don't have anchor babies, but in a way, is indirectly some type of anchor situation going on here. And my last point is, if Mr. Nuri sells me a stolen car and the police come back and take the car, I cannot say, hey, your car, I bought it free and clear. Just because I didn't know doesn't make it right. It's still illegal in my opinion. So how could it turn to be legal? I guess I just wanted to clear it up. I'll hang up a little.
Did you get a professor or want me to paraphrase?
Brother Nuri, I think he mentioned 3 points. Now, I want to be crystal clear as to what he is referring to.
Then I'll ask you the first point that I understood.
Let's take it point by point.
If you'd like to make a call, please.
Yes. Okay. The first point is he wants to know if an undocumented person comes into the Bahamas, can that person ever get citizenship under our Constitution when they came in the country illegally?
I'll ask this question. Can the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas support anything that's illegal?
Are you trying to say the granting of citizenship is illegal, or are you trying to say coming into the country is illegal?
Good question, Brother Nuri.
I answered it. I'm trying to say that's two different issues.
No, but you notice what I asked you.
Mm-hmm.
Can the supreme law of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, say I can rephrase it, support anything that's illegal?
I would say no off the cuff. I would say the supreme.
No, it has to be yes or no.
It's a loaded question, and the question the answer
but
to that
see, it has
is
an answer.
The Constitution trumps all laws.
Can the Bahamas support anything that is illegal? See, once you get the answer to that, everything is finished.
Okay. Let me put this in. Legality has to be adjudicated in the law. Would you say that?
Brother Nuri.
No, that's yes or no question.
Brother Nuri.
But you give me a yes or no question, then I ask you a yes or no question.
Yes,
then you
but
say,
see, I am saying to your Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
And I'm saying what is illegal, what is deemed illegal has to be adjudicated
the Constitution
in the law.
What is legal? That's why you have a legal document.
But who determines whether it's legal or illegal? Where does that happen?
What happens is this. If there's a dispute between two parties.
Yes.
Listen to me carefully now.
I go on quiet.
You go before a court, a properly constituted court. You know that some people got their own court.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a judgment. Now, mm-hmm. if you want to fool around with them, then that's a different kettle of fish. You can have an individual sitting on that bench making a ruling. Either the ruling is constitutional or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said about the judge sitting on the bench making a decision on citizenship, and it was his legal opinion, and it had to be thrown out. So the person sitting there makes a judgment, and I always say to myself, is it according to the Constitution? If it isn't, then it's just null and void. Because, see, it happens, Brother Newey. That's what we need to understand. The Constitution is never wrong, you know.
But right now, Professor, you're preaching now. I want to know, in your opinion...
No, I only can answer what is constitutional.
So you say
I don't want to put an opinion in there.
So that's see, what
I can have an opinion.
So I'm gonna, so I want you to conclude on this. You're
no,
saying
I'm
that is un,
on it.
Is unconstitutional.
I'm saying to you.
So I want to be clear because it's ambiguous.
But let me make it clear then,
okay,
because I made it clear, but you didn't get it.
Okay, go ahead.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas cannot support anything that's illegal. Because if it does, then you need to throw it out the window and forget about it.
And see, and that was made unclear. The question is precise. Can a person who entered the country illegally, right, undocumented person, is that person able to seek citizenship? That's either yes or no, based on the Constitution.
That person is here illegally means you have no rights.
So you just
arrest that person and deport them.
So I can have it juxtaposed to the United States Constitution. I don't know nothing about the United States Constitution. And I always say... And I always saying that we should only concentrate on the Bahamian Constitution.
Well,
I just want...
Hold
on. Give me 2 seconds. So you're trying to say that an undocumented person who enters the United States does
but
not have...
for them over there now, what they do over there.
Okay, let's change it to England. An undocumented person who entered United Kingdom. You're saying that there's no possible way for them to have a progress or a system to get a citizenship or papers or recognition or status. That's a great word. That's impossible.
I'm saying to you.
So you're not saying that?
I'm saying to you, listen to me carefully now, because, you know, people got all kinds of funny things in their head.
Mm-hmm.
A person comes there illegally.
Mm-hmm.
That person has no rights under the law. None. All you have to do is have them arrested and deported.
So even though other countries who go through the same thing, especially I use England, especially the United Kingdom, and they have a system where those same undocumented people, and this is the same type of law we adopted from them, they have a system where they can regularize those people. And you saying that our system does not have it,
Mr. Newey.
I just asking since
I have no problem with the questions, you know.
Okay.
See, that's where we get all mixed up. We're talking about what this one do in England, what this one do in Canada, what this one do in the United States, Australia.
Don't worry about their common law system.
We need to look at our own supreme law.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we get all mixed up. Because we always listen to what this one do, that one do, the next one do.
And we ignore,
I've seen this happen, you know.
Uh-huh.
We ignore what our Constitution says. The Constitution says, any other law that is inconsistent with this Constitution, Article 2. That comes to my mind all the time. To the extent it is inconsistent with this Constitution shall prevail.
And I want to ask the person's next question. The children of these migrants, undocumented migrants, right? They were born in the Bahamas. The question is, even though our Constitution referenced them, saying if you apply at 18, they shall be granted or may be granted or whatever it is, you're saying that the Constitution saying that because their parents came into the country illegally and being birthed here in the Bahamas, you're saying you're interpreting that they have no rights to apply for citizenship neither? That was the second question.
I'm going to reference Article 7 one day. Since you want to get to that. Because that's a bone of contention, which we should have corrected ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
We just allow it to sit there. Persons who come in illegally, you have no rights, period.
Okay, what about the children?
The children?
Yeah.
The children go with the parents.
But how? Then that's two different entities. You can't say my daddy robbed the bank, therefore I got to go in jail too.
No. See, you can't separate the children from the parents.
You can't?
No. The parents are responsible for their children.
We ain't talking about responsible. We're talking about the entity of the child. Surely we have rights of the child, the individual of people. You can't lump
everyone. What does the Constitution say about that?
I will know what the Constitution says.
Does the Constitution, our Constitution, say anything about that?
I don't know. You got to tell me that now.
Well, that's why I'm answering you.
What does the Constitution say?
Then you look at Article 7. It cannot apply to persons who come here illegally.
Hmm.
People who are here lawfully in the country, and it gives you a time limit to apply, you know.
Yeah, we ain't talking about the time limit. We're trying to see.
No, come on now. Don't talk about you not talking about no time limit. Time limit is important. That's why it's in the document.
You just trying to confuse people. I'm trying to say.
I'm not confusing anybody.
Go ahead.
If we're going to deal with our Constitution, we got to deal with what the Constitution says.
And that's why I'm asking you, what does the Constitution says with the child? You're trying to say the Constitution said that because the child parents came illegally, the child has no rights because the child is attached to the child, to the parents?
I am saying to you, these children who are here with their parents who came illegally, the parents ought to be sent out of the country.
We move from that. Go ahead.
That was supposed to happen.
And we're saying that the child has no rights. That's what you're saying also. The child has no rights.
No, what I'm saying to you
So
is,
you're not saying the child has no rights?
No. I'm saying to you, in this particular instance, see, you got to deal with the law.
No, I'm asking if the child have any rights.
Rights for what?
To apply for citizenship at 18. Because they were born here.
I don't know about that.
Let me read this anyway. And I have a caller who wants to ask you a question. So I can read that and go to the caller, then you can respond to the caller, right? CA, your guest / caller, is entirely incorrect and should perhaps do his research before making his statements. The DPP's independence is enshrined in an act passed in 2017. Also, of course, judges make law. Under the doctrine of stare decisis, judges' ruling are given legal effect until overturned by a higher court or by parliament. This caller is wrong on multiple levels and is spewing misinformation. Any comment on that?
You know something? I think I'll just ignore that foolishness from that person. Because, see, all he has to do is go and check the article relating to the way how the office was set up for Director of Public Prosecution. If he can find evidence in the Supreme Law, see, I'm not interested in that other crap that he's talking about. That doesn't mean anything to me. If the Supreme Law says he's independent, well, then fine. But let him say that. I'm not interested in no ruling by anybody else, because it tells me in Article 2, if it's contrary to this Constitution shall prevail. Well, always prevails. But we want to listen to what that fella say in England, that fella say in Germany, that fella say in France. That's why we don't have any, that's why we get all mixed up in this country, because we have no respect for our own supreme law.
So the laws in England doesn't impact us at all?
I'm not saying they don't impact us, you know.
Yeah, I'm professional.
But I'm saying to you, we have our own constitution, which is supreme.
Which is supreme.
It doesn't say the things in England are supreme.
I have another caller.
The Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas is supreme.
I agree. I have another caller here who want to ask you a question, so let me pass them through so we can get that too. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Address the
professor.
He's trying to run away from the question you're asking him. If I can come here from Timbuktu and I can sneak into your country and have a baby here, once that child reaches the age of 18 and you haven't discovered that I came from Timbuktu, that child has the right to apply. And apparently it's written in such a way that that child is actually given the right to receive citizenship. Why is the city trying to run from the fact that this fictional document, which was copy and paste some years ago, needs to be changed?
Mr. Neary,
this
particular person has no respect for the Constitution, so I don't have anything to say to him.
Okay, but please let me talk to Mr. Noori, because I do have respect for the fiction.
Well, you don't have any respect for the Constitution, man.
I aim to have an opinion on.
You can have your opinion. I don't have a problem with you having your opinion on the Constitution.
If Mr. Noori asked you about the child, you didn't have an opinion, but you are the...
No. I'm not interested in having an opinion. I go according to what the law says. That's what's important now. Not your opinion or my opinion. Those opinions don't mean anything. Anybody can have an opinion, just like the justice on the bench got an opinion.
The Constitution that you claim to be the doctor of. Does the child have the right to apply if the parent is here illegally? Both parents. Does the child have a right to apply at the age of 18? Yes or no?
Okay, thank you
very
much.
You can't answer that.
I can push it too with Professor again, but thank you very much, Colin. And Professor, you know, some people have some angst about it, right?
The point is, yes, they may have concerns, but you have to go according to your constitution. See, that has been the problem with the authorities in this country. They go by them and fancy how they feel today. Well, my, they've been here too long. We can't send them out. What kind of nonsense is this?
And I appreciate that. Professor.
But, no, but the point is, it gives a time limit. When you look at Article 7, 1, persons who are here legally in your country,
mm-hmm.
not people who are here illegally.
And that's what
because then why have 7-1 if anybody could come in and do an act as they please? You don't need to have it.
We need to debate. We need to debate that. But Professor, I have a break. I have to go take this short break. Right. Look, let this be a short break, please. I have a Professor here, you know. But anyway, we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And I'm talking with Professor Walter Thompson. I'm going to call his full name. Professor Sidney MacArthur Walter Thompson. We're talking about the Constitution. And Professor, are you available next week? Because I have so much text what I need to read. And of course, the call is calling like crazy.
Yeah, okay.
And which day? I mean, I'll do it Monday because I haven't filled up my calendar yet. So if you're free Monday, you can say Monday. Or we'll do it on the same day.
What day? What did I say?
Well, Wednesday's a rough day for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's pick another date then.
We'll pick another. We'll be offline and continue the conversation.
Yeah, we'll
but I want to also talk about the shanty town, right?
Okay. Yeah,
Justice, I think she's a Thompson too. She might, yeah, anyway, Justice Thompson put the government under injunction, saying that the government can't perform their duties. Actually, I have a problem with that. I'm not sure if that's even constitutional.
I'll answer it this way. Is that constitutional?
I don't think that's possible. That you get, we have a...
You mean to tell me a judge sitting on the bench could prevent a government, a lawfully constituted government, from carrying out its duty?
There's something wrong with that to me, for me. But it's simple. Like I said, I'm not educated like you
but
are.
See, that is why I'm saying to you, you got people doing all kind of crappy things. And if the government itself doesn't stand up and be doing its job to govern this country the way they ought to, according to the Constitution, this foolishness won't be. But if you let it run on and run on and run on, this is what you get. No judge could tire the hand of a government. No way it could happen.
And I want to ask you the next question. The justice said that moving forward, right, the government has to apply or come before another justice, or let's say for her, in front of her, and apply to get given permission to bulldoze an illegal shanty town. I find that offensive, too. How is that?
I'm glad you said it the way you said it.
Go ahead.
I'm glad you said it the way you said it. Because, see, something is seriously wrong with that. It's flawed. I can tell you right off the top, that's a flawed ruling. But the government of the Bahamas is to take action.
They ain't taking action. They're slow.
But now, see, find out why they're not.
And this administration being here for 1 year, the last one gone over 2 years with COVID.
This nonsense has been knocking around for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing?
Are
you serious about taking your responsibility to govern the country? You're talking about a particular personality sitting on a bench saying something, and automatically you just bow down and fall down?
But then I have one more caller who want to ask you a question, and I'm trying to squeeze them in and entertain you. What is a judicial review? And this is what is happening. The migrants in the shanty town said that they look at it as being unconstitutional
Now, when you say migrants, what are you talking about now?
They were the, whoever in the shanty town. The people in the shanty town said it was unconstitutional for the government to come there and bulldoze their house. So they formed a judicial, requested a judicial review, and this is why the injunction was put in place, to see if it's if it is, in fact, unconstitutional for the government to do what they're saying it's going to do.
But the government already... But see, Newey, this is a bunch of foolishness, you know. Mm-hmm. We have laws in place now and according to building codes. Mm. I can't put up no building on my property without getting proper permission. So how the hell these other people setting up towns all over the place in this country could do it? And then someone talks about, I got to come before you to determine whether you could knock it down. You got to be talking foolishness.
But you got to entertain a judicial review. The idea is they're challenging the Constitution.
Mr. Newey, I heard what you said, you know.
I was wondering.
But the point is, you could see the contradiction right there.
Yeah.
I am in the same country where this particular personality making this kind of ruling. I can't do anything. Mm. You got one set of ruling for me, another set of ruling for them other people. Mm. You got to be joking, Newey.
Let me pass this caller through so I can at least entertain them. Go ahead, caller. You're on Guided Radio in the AM.
Good morning.
Got to make it quick, though. I run out of time quickly.
Quick thing. Ricky, the Constitution is not the only thing that governs the Bahamas, you know.
No, the Supreme... No. I got to stop you there.
Hold on.
Supreme Court. Supreme law. Right. Full stop.
Right. But it's not just the only thing that governs the Bahamas, because the same Constitution gives the Parliament of the Bahamas the authority to pass laws, okay? So all of this thing with building...
Laws that does not contradict the Constitution.
But the only person who could really determine if that is so, you have to go to the courts.
Okay.
And the Constitution, that in the Constitution too. If you have an grievance, if you feel like your constitutional rights are being aggrieved, Article 28 tells you could approach the Supreme Court. And that's what people have the right to do. Now, the courts has the authority to interpret the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's the authority the Constitution gives them. And our last set of court is the Privy Council, which is also in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So... if the courts determine that, hey, the government could appeal any ruling from any court up all the way up to the Privy Council, if, just like every citizen of a right, to appeal every ruling, the government have the same right. The court makes a ruling that the government doesn't like or the person doesn't agree with, they could appeal it to the higher level.
They ain't appeal that injunction. They let that injunction ride.
Now, I'm saying they can do it if they feel like, based on the procedures to follow, in the Supreme Court arc to get to various levels of appeals. But we can't keep just bombing the Constitution, what the Constitution say. The Constitution say this. But everybody has an opinion on the Constitution. Even the judges who rule, they speak given their opinion. That's why sometimes we have more than one judge sitting on a case. You have different, it don't be unanimous all the time. Because the laws in every country is up to interpretation. And the people who have that authority to interpret the law for it to be something to become legal, even though we mightn't agree with it or like it, is the people sitting on the bench at the various levels in our court. And that's a simple thing.
I appreciate you calling. Let me run to this next caller.
The Supreme Law, uh-huh. And you can't, the professor seem like he's the only person who knows the Constitution. You see? He wouldn't answer straightforward question, yes or no. Can a person apply to be a Bahamian if their parents were illegal? Okay? The Constitution gives you that right, not only to apply, but be registered as a Bahamian. You see, we keep missing out that part. They have a right to apply and to be registered based on certain conditions that the Constitution say, national security, and some other qualifications that you need to meet.
I appreciate the call, but let me run to my next call so I can get everybody in. So, I mean, I can bring the professor back and we can challenge him again. Pass your next caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, yes. I would agree with that previous caller that that the justices, that they are not the final say, as the Constitution says. You can appeal what they say, but they feel they have the feeling that what they say is law and nobody like their words like the Pope. But it's not so, and the government need to appeal all of these rulings and get these matters matters done with it so we can have justice, what Bremen said, we need justice, law, and order in our country. Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it. I have another caller. Let's pass it through. Go ahead, caller. Mm-hmm. Then I can let the professor close all the time. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing?
You're doing well. Go ahead.
You know,
if you see something happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're confused about it, right? All you do is check the results. Okay? Now, if this situation is not resolved, what happens is that we will create another class of voter in this country. Okay? You know, and that is a result. Now, if it's intentional or not, I can't say. But if the fellows keep on going like what they are into right now, they are going to create an expanded class of voters who are dependent on them. And that's just how it is.
Okay, I appreciate that. And now going back now to Professor Thompson, I have a question here now. Is the Constitution just for Bahamian citizens or for anyone living in the Bahamas? Does the Constitution govern everybody, even the illegal? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it says any person.
It says any person.
Yeah.
So that's Bahamian, non-Bahamians, illegals, whatever. The Constitution governs all of that.
Yes, that's correct. It's the supreme law of the land.
Supreme law of the land. Yeah. And this injunction that we are under now by the justice, and the government refusal to challenge it or get it moved, set aside, and waiting for it to expire to ask the justice permission to carry out their mandate. How what do you think about that?
The government of the Bahamas has the authority to govern this country. No judge could stop that. None. I don't care what kind of ruling they come up with.
But don't judges judge against the government and say stop them from doing things all the time?
But Aniri, the government of the Bahamas has a mandate from the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to carry out its duties on behalf of the Bahamian people. No judge can stop that. I don't care what kind of ruling they
But they can't break the law, and this is where the injunction comes in.
They're
questioning whether the government could do what it's doing.
Make a ruling that is totally unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that straight now.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who talk foolishness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they are the final authority. That's not what Article 2 says.
Mm-hmm.
Article 2 says the Constitution is supreme. Not the judge. So you all got to understand how this thing goes. No judge is supreme in this country. So let's get that straight, man. So a judge can make a ruling. I respect the ruling of the judge. I don't have to agree with the ruling of the judge.
Mm-hmm.
There's no law that says I have to agree. That's the opinion of the judge. Just like the woman in Bangtown got a 5 boys. She got an opinion, too.
Mm.
I'm agreeing to you. When, in another case, the government of the Bahamas moved very quickly and squashed the ruling of the judge who was sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of that matter right there.
Mm-hmm.
That died right there. Because it was overturned by the Court of Appeal. So why would the government of the Bahamas have this confusion going on in the country because somebody decided to say something and it just sits there like that? And it's causing all this confusion, and you do nothing about it? The government of the Bahamas is being extremely irresponsible. The Bahamian people have to make a determination on that. And let me just say
mm-hmm.
to that particular personality who thinks that I am the only one who is authority on the Constitution, just tell him, stop talking foolishness. The Constitution is supreme, not Sidney McCarthy, Walter Thompson. I have an opinion. I may have an opinion of the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
but in this discussion here, I'm not bringing no opinion to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I deal strictly according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
There are some difficult questions that need answers.
Professor Thompson, I got to go and run out of time. I will invite you back next week. We can work with that time so where we can continue this conversation. I appreciate you coming on. This has been Guardian Radio with AM with C.A. Nuri. We're talking to Professor Thompson about the Constitution and its rights. And we'll have this continue this discussion again next week.